them to come to church and have laughter. Right now, I'm trying to laugh just to calm myself down. It's not that I'm nervous because I'm coming before people, because I got rid of nervousness years ago because of being a mail carrier. You can't hide and deliver mail. You have to be out before people to deliver mail. So after a while, I just got used to just being out in front of people. But I'm just nervous because I just want to make sure that I do what thus says the Lord. So on that note, let us all stand to our feet, and we're going to go to Matthew chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. We've read over it a lot of times and preached from it and all. So, but as the Scripture says, that there's nothing new under the sun. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 17 through 18. And it reads, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. You may be seated. Father God, I just come unto you this morning, Lord God, praying and asking you to just clear this vessel, Father God, that I may be used today to bring forth the message that you have given me for your people. Lord God, I ask right now that you would just settle me down so that I may come forward with power and conviction for the message that your people will hear from this vessel, this yielded vessel, unto you. In Jesus' name, I ask and I do pray. Amen. 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 Before I get started, one thing I like to do, I always acknowledge the people singing different songs, because you never realize, how the songs that come before the message helps to aid the message. And I always thank God for Brother Sanderson, not Reverend Sanderson. But I can understand why Reverend can be attached to him, because he is so full of the Spirit of the Lord, and he's, I call, a gospel cheerleader for the Lord. And he just likes to express himself. And also to Deacon Lawrence, where he says he's not afraid to sing, he doesn't. He says he's singing unto the Lord. He's not afraid to come forward to always give us our scripture for today. And that just goes to say, as the scripture says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." So he just loves to be used by the Lord. Amen. And then every praise is to our God. That's what it's all about. That every praise is to our God. And then there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. And then the last one was when Brother Jackson said, "Let go and let God. Let him have his way." So all from that, and on the two scriptures that I give today, I'm going to preach to you from the subject, the church. The church. So my heart desire is to bring clarity concerning the church and how you should view it, and to know the purpose, the design, the mission, the character, and the power that the church has. The Lord's house is where we are seated right now. The Lord's house is where we have gathered right now. But I'm talking to the born-again, baptized believers, and also to those who have not accepted God as their personal, accepted God and Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or the Holy Spirit as their comforter. But I also want to say this, that the church is spoken of weekly. It's debated by many in terms of, is it a building? Is it a certain place? Is it physical? Is it mental? Or is it spiritual? Should I attend? Should I stay home? Or should I give to it financially? And you know what I'm talking about, because there are people that are in the sanctuary right now that had that debate all week long. If I'm going to go to church, if I'm going to stay home, or if I'm going to give to it financially. So let me ask you this. Do you have a house? Do you have an apartment? Do you have a room? Do you have a place that's called home? And how do you treat it? What does your home do for you? And do you just treat it any old kind of way? Or do you have rules and regulations that you are governed by in your home? Or maybe you might just live outdoors. I don't know. But why would God even establish a church? And why would God want his people together as a church? And why did Apostle Paul, the worst of the heathens after his conversion, co-sign with it and go off on a rant to establish and groom churches? And then, why does the devil try to convince you not to go to church or cause confusion and strife with the pastor and the congregants, or have you to sit down on your talents, or that you don't even have to go to church anymore? That is just something I just want you to resonate in your spirit. But let's just dive into the scripture. And as Pastor Harris would say, and the scene opens. This is a conversation going on between Jesus and his disciples about who the men say that he is. But let me pause and ask you right now, I want everyone in the sanctuary to just take your finger and point at yourself. And as you point to yourself, ask yourself, who is Jesus to you? Because it does matter what you believe. In verse 16, Simon Peter, one of the disciples of Jesus, answered the question that says that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when he did that, then Jesus replied, blessed are thou. And we as Christians, we throw that word blessed around a lot. But let me just tell you something about being blessed. We're blessed because of his righteousness, his resources, his privileges, his position, and the power that outweighs any earthly blessings. According to Ephesians 1 and 3, it says, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ on high. We are blessed because we're chosen before the foundation of the world to be adopted as a beloved son or daughter of the King. We are blessed because we are redeemed and forgiven, receiving the riches of his grace as he has made known to us the mystery of his will. The gospel, which is to unite all things in him, things in heaven, and things in earth. And let me just give you one more reason why we are blessed. We are blessed because we have a guaranteed inheritance, and we have been sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit until we acquire possession of it. In other words, we haven't seen nothing yet. Think that by having a mansion or having wealth and good health is rewarding, or that the trials and tribulations may come that knock us off our feet, but it's nothing in comparison to our eternal inheritance in the New Jerusalem, in the unshakable, secure, eternal kingdom, according to Revelation 3 and 21. It says, to him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. So let's fix our eyes on the incredible inheritance that we are guaranteed, because we have a far greater blessing than we can realize, but sometimes we do become complacent. So ask God to stir up your heart with a greater zeal for him than for comfort for yourself. For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. That's what the rest of the scripture says. So his understanding of who Christ is did not come from man nor from science, but my Father which is in heaven, our spiritual teacher. And according to John 6 and 65, It says, Jesus said that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. So when you meet him, when you talk to him, he talks back. And yes, he does respond, and he does answer our prayers. This is why we can say, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. When you meet him for yourself, you can't and you won't compare him to no other relationship, because there's no one like him. That's the reason why you see our brothers and our sisters that come before you and offer prayer and offer to sing songs and offer praise, because they have Jesus inside of them, and they're showing you that can't nobody do you the way that Jesus does them. Amen? Therefore, you can become born again. And that's what it's about. It's about becoming born again. It's about a transformation taking place in your life, because sometimes people can't understand, how can I become born again? Because when you think of birth, just like we had the baby dedication, we know that we were born at least once. That's the reason why we're here. Born again means now you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now you have a new life. You have become born again. So I say to you, have you met him? Or did you meet him here at Galilee? Because I know for myself, I met him here at Galilee. And in verse 18 says, and I will build my church. The church had not yet started, but by saying this simply meant that you are now my followers. Peter is not the rock, but Christ is the rock. Peter is just a fragment of the rock. And that, just like us, we are fragments of the rock of Jesus Christ. The church was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Acts 20 and 28 says, and he purchased it with his own blood. And Jesus, he is the head. Ephesians 1, 22 to 23 says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth in all in all. And he is our Savior. Ephesians 5 and 23 say he is the Savior of the body. Jesus Christ's church is universal. His church is all over the world. The church has purpose. According to Matthew 22, 37 through 40, it says, love the Lord your God and your neighbor. The church has a mission, and the mission is Matthew 28 through 18 through 20, go and make disciples. The church has character. 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16, be holy as I am holy. And the church has power. His divine power has given us everything that we need. There's more to it than just these four walls that we're encompassed in right now. Because God sees the church not alone, but together. Should your life be alone, or should your life be with other folks? Because sometimes you do meet some people that just want to be all by themselves. But as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, you should not desire to want to be all by yourself. And in 1 Timothy 3, 14 through 15, Paul says the church is our family. So know how to live in God's church as a family. Amen. Just like God sent his son, 35 years ago, God sent Pastor Harris by way of Arkansas to preach and to teach the unadulterated word of God and provide spiritual leadership. And Jeremiah 3 and 15 reads, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Let me just pause right there, because this is one of the reasons why I'm up here, is because we're celebrating Pastor's 35th pastoral anniversary. He and Sister Harris are not here today, but it was because of him that I am standing here today. It was because of him witnessing to me, I am here today. I was on my way, minding my business, on the mail route, for some of you who do not know, that I used to be the mail carrier here on Martin Luther King Boulevard. And it was because of me wrestling with things going on in my life and all. And one day, I was across the street, and I just crossed over, and I saw Pastor Harris, and I asked him, could I come and talk to him? Because there were some things that I just could not understand that was going on in my life. And because of me talking to him, the Lord had, that's when I received my salvation. And so it did occur here at Galilee Baptist Church. And if Pastor was here, I would continue to thank him again for God using him. But now, over in 1 Corinthians 12:12, and it reads, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being one, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized. So I say that to say that we're not just some haphazard group that just shows up here on Sunday, because Jesus is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence, which means first in everything. Also in Ephesians 4:11-12, and it says that he gave us some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the work, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So because of this, the local church should have 12 characteristics. And I want to read these 12 characteristics that the local church should have. One is evangelism, discipleship, membership, leadership. And as I read this, I want you all to see yourself being a part of these 12 characteristics. Preaching, teaching, baptism and the Lord's Supper, worship, fellowship, prayer, accountability, discipleship, giving, and missions. If you don't see yourself in any of those 12, I just tell you to hold on and to hang on and ask God to use you so that you can become a part of the local church. So for 35 years, Pastor Harris has been fulfilling the mission of God, praying for and counseling us. He's a great listener. He's very enthusiastic. He's intentional about witnessing and including the 12 characteristics under his leadership. We need to pray for our leader and to help him to hold up the bloodstained banner. Then the last part of the scripture says, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it, meaning the forces of evil will not be able to conquer the people of God. You need to get excited about that, because so many times we are beat up by the devil, and sometimes we may be feeling conquered by the devil, but I stand here today to tell you the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So church, once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are sealed. The Apostle Paul says it best in Romans 8:38-39. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus established his church over 2,000 years ago. I don't know why you came to church today. You might be suffering. You might be burdened down with the cares of the world or family. Or maybe you have lost your direction, or you need your spirit to be lifted and you need your spirit to be filled. Whatever the case may be, Jesus took care of all that through his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. The Savior made it possible for us to be forgiven and now to have a personal relationship with him. He is our refuge, a very present help in the time of trouble. We serve an on-time God. He specializes in what no other can do, no other power can do. So put your hands in God's hands. I came to Jesus just as I was, weary, wounded, and sad. I didn't even know that I was lost, neither did I know that I was not connected to God. I called on him, and he heard my cry. He's the lily of the valley. He is the bright and the morning star. So as I said before, it's more to it than just these four walls that we sit behind right now. It's about getting to know him as Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, do you know what the church is? I just want to let you know that he is all right with me. And I say to you all, don't sit down on God. Don't give up. Don't let this world, right now we know we're going through the Wade versus Roe about abortions, and we have COVID-19. There's so many things that are plaguing the world right now, and it's not going to get any better. But I stand here to tell you, don't let that take you down. Don't let that direct your path. Choose Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to direct your path. Put your hands in God's hands, because he has the power, and he knows us, he loves us, he created us, and he'll never give up on us. In Jesus' name, amen.